I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH. We are thrilled to be gathering together for Palm Sunday. My dad, Pastor Salem, was grateful that viewers opened their doors and let us come in to worship together. We hope you will invite others to watch with you today and next week for Easter Sunday. We want to share a letter of thanks from our website comments. Just a note to tell you how much I appreciate you folks and CWH. I have become a shut-in, and the sincere love of the Lord and Pastor Salem's messages mean so much to me. Thank you for continuing to broadcast your programs. Now, let's join Dad for the Palm Sunday message titled, Riding on a Donkey, where we are reminded that Jesus is our example in all things. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a special service today because it's Palm Sunday. And that's the day you remember that Jesus rode into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And that's what our study's going to be about. And we're going to see how Jesus leaves so many lessons that he gives us on Palm Sunday. So we're looking at Psalm 103, verses 8 to 11. And they read like this. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so high is his mercy toward them that fear him. And dear Heavenly Father, we fear you in that we respect you. We are not afraid to come to you with all of our troubles and trials. And when we've sinned, we're not afraid to come to you because we know as we come and confess our sins, you'll forgive us our sins and you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness and that you'll just make us so that our fellowship is sweet and open and close to you. And so we just thank you that you're the wonderful, great God and you care for us so much you gave your son. And so today now bless us as we think about this Palm Sunday, Lord, so long ago, the lessons that you've taught us. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood.
Thank you, Melissa. And I love that song because it tells me I don't know what holds tomorrow, but God knows all the way. And he'll never be surprised and he'll never be taken unaware. He knows exactly what's going to happen and he's going before us. And so we can just give ourselves to him. We not only give him our sins and he washes them away, but we can give our heart and our allegiance and our love and just walk with him and never have to worry. He knows everything that's going to happen, and he'll handle it all for us. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Well, we want to read some of the letters today, and this is a special Sunday, of course, Palm Sunday. And so if you want to look up the scriptures and be ready to read it with us, we'll be looking in Mark chapter 11. But Palm Sunday has so many wonderful lessons, and we'll be looking at those for a moment or two. But we want to thank you for the letters, and we want to thank you for the gifts, because all of our income comes from God's people. We're not underwritten by any corporation or organization or anything like that, but just from God's people. And so you get your pencil and paper, and then at the end of the service, I'll give the scripture, and then you can write to us. And if you write us a letter, maybe we'll read it. And maybe it'll bless somebody. So let's look at what we have today. The first one is in Abilene, Texas. And they write, I am now 58 years old. I asked Jesus into my life when I was 13. And that very moment, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. A joy and sense of peace and pure love came over me. I strayed and fell into a sinful lifestyle. However, Jesus never left nor forsook me. He is faithful and true. Thank you, Pastor, for proclaiming the only truth. God bless you and all those associated with your ministry. And so we just want to just thank you for this nice letter. And, you know, when we get a good number of letters like this where people drift away, we can all drift. I know I've had it happen to me. And it'll come on you just so slightly, you never notice it. But maybe you're not reading your Bible as much. Maybe you're not praying as much. Maybe you're not witnessing as much. Maybe you have a bitter spirit over something. Oh, the devil never gives up on tempting us. And so we just give it to Jesus. And if we fail 1,000 times, he'll forgive us 1,000 times. Because he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they're going to be white like snow, red like crimson, going to be just like wool. And this wonderful Savior, he'll forgive us no matter how many times we sin, because my grace is sufficient for thee. What a wonderful Savior. Now here's one right next door to us, Hosmer, South Dakota. And she writes this, a sad letter. My husband was killed in a tragic auto accident in 2010. You have given me lots of comfort. And of course, we can give comfort because we can dispense the word of God. And that's where the comfort comes from. That's where the help comes from. It comes from God. And so we use the scriptures all the time. And that's part of the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour. We have three things in mind. First of all, we want to glorify God. And the second thing, we want to win people to Christ, help them to come to Jesus. And the third thing we want to do is comfort God's people. And it's not always old people. Young people can have trials and troubles and tribulations, and they need the comfort, the balm of Gilead, that wonderful God, wonderful God. And that's what Isaiah, God told Isaiah the prophet. He said, comfort ye my people. That's exactly what we do. And I know that it's working because it's the word of God working in you. And his word will never return void. Always accomplish the thing to which it's been sent. Let's see, this is Boca Raton, Florida. I was so happy when I found your service. It is so much like the wonderful little church I went to in my youth, where the word was always preached. It seems that everything today is about the mega churches, and I'm sure many of them preach the gospel, but I feel just like coming home when I found the Christian Worship Hour. Well, you know, that's exactly what we are. We're just everyday people, and we're just loving the Lord, and we're just a little church, little service out here, preaching the wonderful word of God, and God has blessed it, and he's taken it and carries it all over the world. And I suspect that most of the people who worship with us, most of the people that we're helping and having bringing to the Lord are people in the little groups of people, the common person. That's what Abraham Lincoln said, that God liked the common man the most because he made the most of that kind. And I think he had a good thought there. So we just will pray, and we'll just pray that God will continue to bless and to help people while they have their needs. Here is Fargo, North Dakota. Thank you for your weekly church hour. I accepted Jesus into my life on your show, and it has been a wonderful experience. And accepted Jesus, and some people say, well, I'd like to accept Jesus, but I don't know what words to say. Well, I don't even know how to talk to God. I've never talked to God. And so how do I accept Jesus? Well, it is so simple that a child can do it. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. I have a daughter in about 80 now. Oh, no, dear Lord, no, she's not that old. Oh, I hope she doesn't listen to this service. But she accepted the Lord when she was 5 years old. And so she's 65. Oh, my. I don't know, and we may not be able to use this service. But Patty's a good, dear lady, and she, 5 years old, she accepted Jesus. And so when you accept Jesus, it simply means just that. You accept him. You ask him into your heart. It's just like if somebody comes and knocks on your door, and you say, come in, and you ask them to come in. How do you say come in? You just say, just come in and worship. Come in and visit. And so you say to Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sins. I've sinned against you, Lord, and just take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. I'll forsake those sins the best I can, but I'll put you first in my life. Just in your own words to say that. And don't get fancy with the thee and the thous and all of the rest. Just talk to Jesus. Here's a nice letter from San Rafael, California. And this person writes, sometimes I feel very lonely and long for friends who share the feelings of my very soul. These current times seem so full of hate and evil in the whole world that I feel the more alone and even feel more alone and separated. It is therefore a great comfort to me to hear the letters of the Christians who write in and that they read every Sunday. It is, now listen to what she says. It is the best time of the entire service for me, reading these letters. And she says, like you, I've been a Christian from my youth, so the sermons are always special and uplifting, but especially thank very much for the reading, and thank you for the reading of the letters from my fellow soulmates. They are a comfort to me. I thank God that not all is lost. And so when we read these letters, we're just reading from people who write from their hearts. And some of them have burdens, and some of them have sorrows, and some of them are lonely. And then some are rejoicing because they've come back to Jesus. They've drifted away. Or some of them write, and for the first time, they've asked Jesus into their heart. And so it's just great to hear from everybody. We find out they're people just like we are. And one lady wrote in and said, well, I like to listen to those letters because Those are questions that I'm asking, but I just hate to write in and admit that I have a question or a problem or whatever she had. And so here's the letters. So I hope that you'll write in to us. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the address in just a minute. I was going to wait till the end of the service. I just can't wait. And so get your pencil and paper ready. I'll give you the address in just a minute or two. Here is one from Iowa, Northwood, Iowa, and said, "Hope this will help to bring souls to Jesus. I've watched you for years on Sunday morning. You made a big change in my life. I look forward to Sunday morning. The world is so negative. You are a breath of fresh air with the Word of God." And that's exactly it. The fresh air is the Word of God, the wonderful Word of God. It's likened unto a hammer that pounds the heart and breaks down the wills of people. It's made up like a, looks like a mirror, and we see ourselves and what we are, and we see our flaws and our failures. It's called water, the washing of the water by the Word, and it cleanses us. And when I went to seminary, we used to say, "Now today we're going to have a soul bath." And that meant that everybody in our Bible school, we'd all different ones give verses of scripture. And he says that our seminary professor says, that washes the soul, just to quote the soul, Word of God. And that's why we need to read the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, because it cleanses and it helps us and it strengthens us and it gives us blessings. Oh, the wonderful Word of God. Here's Billings, Montana. I love that country. "I love the way you all love Jesus. I do not think you can love unless you know Jesus." And then pray for my wife. She's in the hospital. But he makes a good statement here. If you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. Because anybody that knows Jesus loves him. You can't help but love him. And when you read that Bible, you see Jesus on every page. And he talks to us. And we'll have a verse of scripture that we've read before and we've never ever thought about it. All of a sudden, it's in a new shining light, speaks to our soul and blesses us. Wonderful Word of God. And one more we want to share, Lecompton, Kansas. And this lady writes, "After having a stroke, I realized how much your message means to me. I felt Jesus taking me by the hand and saying to me, I will help you through the dark valley of depression." And so this wonderful Jesus does talk to us. Now, I've never heard a voice where Jesus talked to me in an audible voice, and I've never had visions where I've seen things and all that. Some people say they have, and maybe they have. Woo, that's just fine. But there's just a peace that comes to your heart. And like a peace that you see all the things that are happening in the world and the hard things and the terrible things, and it frightens you. And then all of a sudden you just have a peace that God is here and he's going to have the last word, and you just give it to Jesus. Rest on Jesus. Oh, it's the only way to live. And so I hope that you'll write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And send your letter, because we'd love to hear from you and we'd like to read your letter. And so you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And so you write to us anywhere in the world and we'll get your letter and we'll rejoice. And if you can help us in the work, then we need the help, because we've got to pay our way just like anybody else. And I tell you something we have. We have a little paper that's called The New Song. The New Song. And it's new every month. And it's a Bible study. And this month of April, it's entitled The Glorious Gospel. And it's a little Bible study on the beauty of the gospel and the power of the gospel, the wonderful Word of God. And I just know it would bless you. And we have people that use this for Sunday school. And some of them use it for Bible studies and some in retirement homes. And so we'll just send it free and postpaid. And you got it on the screen there, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So we're just going to trust that you're going to help us and stand by with us. and send your gift to help us along. And if you say, well, I don't know if I should send it or not because I don't know if, you know, I don't know if the Lord is going to, I don't know if you'll spend it wisely or if you'll spend it well or you'll do it right. And so I don't know about that. Well, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And every time you send a gift, it's all audited and how much we receive and how we spend it. And every penny is accounted for. So we hope that you'll stand by and help us. So Jan's going to play. I'm going to say a little prayer and she'll play. Then you give as the Lord lays on your heart. So Heavenly Father, thank you for those who stand by and help us. Those who've helped us so many years, some of them, Lord, are in your presence now. But new people are coming all the time and saying, yes, we'll pick up the slack, we'll help. So I just thank you for all who are helping us in this wonderful work. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jan, thank you. Every time you play, I think you get better. Maybe you are, I don't know, but it's just beautiful, and thank you so much. We're reading from Mark chapter 11 today, and this is a passage that deals with the triumphal entry and how they get this little donkey and then rides into Jerusalem. And it has special significance because Jesus, up until this time of his ministry, has told them when they did miracles, tell no man and don't make a big thing out of it and let me give my teachings. But now he's coming into his ministry where he wants the whole world to see him because he's at the foot of the cross. He's going to the things are going to pick up very rapidly and he's going to go into Gethsemane and then he's going to stand before Caiaphas and then he's going to be crucified. So it all picks up about now. And he wants the whole world to know, like St. Paul said, these things weren't done in a corner. These things were done wide open. They didn't have television in those days, thank God. Well, I shouldn't say that, or we wouldn't have our Christian worship hour, so I guess I better watch out here. But they didn't have all, but they to get the word out, they had to go by word of mouth. And so they had this parade, this demonstration as Jesus comes from the Mount of Olives down over the side of the Mount of Olives, across the Brook Kidron, then up the other side into the city of Jerusalem. And then we're going to have our prayer. And in our prayer today, every week we pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Sudan. And so, but first, let's look at verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt, and they tied the door without, and tied by the door without the place where the two ways meet, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, Why do ye loose him? What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that went after followed, crying, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for all of the Scripture because we know the Bible from beginning to end is the Word of God. It is God-breathed, and holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they've written this wonderful Word of God. And we just thank you that it is so true that every prophecy that has been fulfilled so far have been fulfilled exactly, precisely the way God said they would be fulfilled. We thank you because it has the power to speak to hearts, that it has the heart, it has the power to break down stubborn wills and convict people of sin. And it's like a sword sharper than any two-edged sword. And we just thank you for the wonderful, wonderful Bible, the Word of God. And now today, as we think about the triumphal entry, dear Lord, you're coming to the cross now in just a few hours, and it won't be long, and you'll be nailed to that cross. And you'll be there because you loved us, and you died for our sins, to pay for our sins. And oh, we were your enemies and rebels, and we took your name in vain, and we sinned against you, and we reviled against you at times. And yet, in spite of it all, you loved us and went to the old rugged cross, paid for our sins. So today we pray, Lord, as we see this demonstration of you riding in that donkey, the lessons that you've left, lessons for us today, help us to be obedient to them. And then, Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Sudan. We know they're dying for you, Lord. They're not just being put in hard places and ridiculed and laughed at, but some are being put to death. Dear Lord, in this last 2015, more died for you than at any time in the history of the church. And so we just pray for the people in Sudan because many are giving their lives. Many are left behind, and they're homeless, and they're fatherless, and some of the children are orphans because their parents put to death. And so we pray for them, dear Lord, that you encourage them, and maybe some of them are worshiping with us this morning, and help them to know that they're encouragement to us, and we are stronger in our Christian life because they there stand for you. They stood for you unto death itself. And help us in America to do the same thing, to be willing to die for you if needs be. All glory to the Savior. So now bless us in this service and exalt your Son. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Barb's going to sing, He Grew the Tree. And God bless you, Barb.
Molded and built a small lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow. Gave it leaves and gave it sunshine.
Well, thank you, Barb. And that's the gospel. That's the story. Jesus grew the tree, created the tree that he'd be crucified on. Can you imagine that? And all the time, we weren't his friends. We were living in sin. We were in Satan's camp. We took his name in vain. We broke the Ten Commandments. And yet he loved us so much that he would die for us. And he loves us that much today. And anyone can come if you want to come. If the Holy Spirit is talking to your heart, the Word of God is saying to you, yeah, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And you just pray and just ask Jesus to come into your heart, take away your sins. And that love is there, and it'll always be there until you die. Once we die, then it's all settled, and we're forever in that love or out of that love. And if you're going to have the love of God and experience the love of God, and I pray you will, you have to do it while you have breath, while you're alive. Don't put it off. Come to Jesus. Right during the service, the Holy Spirit will say to you, and he'll tug at your heart a little bit, I really need Jesus. I want Jesus. I love Jesus. And just pray. Just ask him into your heart. Well, this is a story that we have today. And as a people that are preparing the way for Jesus, because he's going to come riding into Jerusalem. And so here he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has created everything there is on the face of the earth. And he is all powerful. And he holds everything together. And he holds all the planets. I see they found some new planets. My good grief. They've been there all the time. They just found him just in the last month or two. And he made all of these things, and he holds them together. By him, they consist or hold together. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's going to ride into Jerusalem. And so if you lived in Roman days, and when the days of this took place, and you're the conqueror, and you're going to ride into Jerusalem, you'd ride on a war horse. And you'd have that horse all be decked out and all fixed up like $1 million. Or you might even come in a chariot. And you might have your soldiers walking by your side and yelling and hauling to the Caesar and to the king. But what does Jesus do? He comes, and here it is. They're shouting, and they're riding on a little donkey. First time it's ever been ridden, which tells us, if you ever ridden a horse, a wild horse, the first time you ride that wild horse, you better be hanging for leather and hanging on for leather, because they're going to throw you. Ever been thrown off of a horse? I was once. I never got on a horse again. Well, I really did, but I mean, I never got on one that hadn't been ridden before, see? Well, how could Jesus do that? How could he get on that donkey and had never been ridden and just have that thing walk right down that path with all those people and shouting and commotion and everything else? You know why? He's the creator, and he's the creator of all things, and that takes care of the animals. So the animals obey him, and that's just what he was doing. So here we read, and they were saying, as they traveled down the side of the Mount of Olives and then across a little brook called Kidron and then into the city, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The gospel writers also tell us that Jesus traveled a parade route and riding on this donkey. And there he was, a spectacle. But he's telling us a lesson. He's teaching us some lessons, and we want to look at some of them today. The first thing we notice about this, when he rides on that donkey, is that he is a very humble person. You wouldn't have got one of these warlords or Titus when he conquered Jerusalem in 70 AD. You wouldn't, when he rode into that city, he didn't ride on a donkey. He rode on a steed, a fiery steed, or a chariot. I don't know if there's a record of it, but I know he didn't ride a donkey of all things. And Jesus is telling us, as he comes into this city, he says that this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, and oh, how powerful he is. Well, John says something. Here John says, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than this man doeth?" In other words, John is writing about Jesus and all the miracles that he does. And then in John 21, verse 25, John writes again, and he says, "And there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." And he says, "I suppose," and that we call that hyperbole. It's a figure of speech, and it simply means that it just appears. When you saw all the things that Jesus did, you just think like you couldn't put them all in a book. He did so many good things. He was always doing good, and he came to minister to people and to help people. And that's what he did all of his life. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes in this magnificent Savior. And just think who he is. Somebody puts it like this. A Spear writes, and he says, "This wonderful Lord Jesus, how great he is." And it says, "He walked in life without display. He met rejection without dismay. He never lost control of himself. He was always calm, collected, and quiet. He avoided demonstrations or popularity. He always bore himself with even composure. He was not weak. He washed the feet of the disciples, and yet with flashing eyes, he drove the money changers out of his father's house." Oh, this wonderful Jesus Christ, of all he has and all he is, the second person of the Holy Trinity, and yet here he is humbling himself, riding into this thing out on this donkey. That's a picture for all of us to take. Jesus was never boastful. He was never proud. He was always humble. And look at him as he washes the feet of the disciples. Here they are, and they have been arguing on who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus comes, who is the king himself, and he takes their feet and he washes their feet, and he's showing how humble and what humility is. This wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he is so perfect and he is so wonderful. And he talks about that, and he tells us that he, all because of all of it he has, yet he humbled himself, and he comes to the people in need. And he comes to the people that are deep in sin. He comes to people that have gone astray and drifted away. He's gone to those who sinned against light. And now we get letters from people, and they'll say, oh, I've sinned in such terrible ways. I don't know if the Lord could ever forgive me. And I don't know if he'd ever could do that because, and a lot of times they'll say, I sinned against light. And what they were saying is, I knew better, but I did it anyway. You ever done that? I've done that, and I'm not proud of it. But it's a terrible thing. And that's a thing that stands out. They'll say, I sinned against light. Well, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you come in despair and you come and commit your, and you ask him to forgive your sins, he washes us clean and makes us pure. And I don't know, you know, I think Peter probably thought he committed the worst sin in the world because he denied Jesus. You remember Jesus says that he would never deny him. Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times and you're going to, as sure as the world, you're going to fail me. And Peter says, no, even if I have to die, I'll never fail you, Lord. And I don't believe there was a more honest man in all the world than Peter. And I believe in his heart that he felt like he'd go to the cross. Now we preach all the time to the persecuted church, and there are some people watching right now, worshiping with us, and you've seen some of your people taken. You've seen them give their life. And so he said, I'll give my life. Peter says, I'll give my life. But when push came to shove, he didn't, did he? He denied Jesus. He swore. He cursed and said that he did not know Jesus, and he wanted and didn't want any part of it. And he left and he went away. And I think that when Peter went away, what did he do? He went to Galilee. He was a fisherman by trade. That was his profession. And he went, and that was his making style of living. And so here he's a follower of Jesus. He's fishing. And Jesus says, follow me. And he left all that he had and followed Jesus. Well, now Jesus is going to be crucified. And he's put down. And now he's in such despair, Peter in such despair, that he says, I blew it. He'll never have anything to do with me. I think he gave up, sure as the world. But what did Jesus do? He loved him. Jesus told Peter, before any of this took place, he says, Peter wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed you that your faith fail not. And Peter's faith did not fail. His courage failed, but his faith never failed because he came back to the Savior. And so when we talk about this wonderful Lord Jesus, we want to be sure that we're following that pattern. He says, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And though he is the Son of God, he gave up that place, the Son of God, and he came, was dwelt among us and went to the cross. And as a servant went to the cross and shed his blood with his own to pay for the sins of the world. He had no sins of his own. He had his own. We had our own, but Jesus had no sins. And so he's saying, you be like Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Be humble. Don't be afraid to witness for the Lord. Don't be afraid to make a stand for the Lord and let people know that you are. Just love the Lord and be humble. And then as you look at this story, you can see that he was, that day, he was forgiving. Jesus, as he rode that donkey, knew what they were going to do with him. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He knew he'd go into Gethsemane. He knew he'd be arrested. He knew he'd be taken before the Sanhedrin. He knew that he'd stand before Pilate. He knew that he knew that there would be false witnesses that swore that he was trying to have an uprising against the king. And he knew all of that. And yet Jesus went every step of the way and he forgave them. And when he's on the cross, when he prayed, the first thing he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I know I could never have done that, but Jesus did that because Jesus is God and he has a love and he has a caring and he goes to that cross. And on that cross, he forgives one of the sinners that would repent. And one didn't repent and went to hell. That happens all the time. It's happening right now. You know that? It's happening right now, this minute. I'm talking about Jesus. And I'm telling you, you have to have him to be your Savior. And there's one man on the right hand or the left. I don't know where you're at. But you're on one side and you said, I am a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me, dear Jesus, and take away my sins, and you're heaven bound. But there's another man there, and he's hearing the same message, and he's seeing the same Jesus face to face. He's as close to Jesus as the other man. They're both there. But he said, well, if you're being Christ, why don't you take us down from the cross? Why don't you get down from the cross? He never repented. He never turned. He never believed, and he's in hell. And that's what we do every time we preach. Every time I bring a message, it's happening right now. There are some of you listening, and you're saying, yes, yes, I do want Jesus. And I am a sinner, and I deserve hell, but I do want Jesus. And then they'll say, dear Jesus, just come into my heart. Take away my sin, and I'll live for you the best I can. You're praying that right now. But there are other people in the same camp, maybe in the same household, and the other one is saying, I'm good enough as I am. I pay my bills, and I'm doing the best I can, and I'm a lot better than a lot of other people, and I don't need Jesus. I'll get in on my own merits. There's one man I prayed, asked if he'd like me to pray for him. He was a tough old cowboy from out in western South Dakota. And I says, well, would you like me to pray for you? And you know what he said? He said, well, if it'll make you feel better, go ahead. He didn't need any prayers. He didn't need any forgiveness. He was good enough as himself, see? And so Jesus is telling us, riding on this donkey, he's telling us you need to forgive. And you can find that forgiveness in Jesus. But you'll never find it anywhere else. You'll never find forgiveness from the devil and his crowd. You'll only see that the devil will laugh at you as you go into torment. Jesus will accept you with open arms, just like he accepted the prodigal son. He took him in his arms, and he held him, and he loved him, and he held him to himself. And this Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he said on the cross, forgive them, they know not what they do. And that's what he's saying for you today. And you can just say that prayer, dear Jesus, I need to come to you. I want to come to you. And then there's something else about that donkey. When Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on that donkey, we see hope riding on that donkey. There is hope for the world, the only hope of the world. Jesus says that I am come that they have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He tells us again in the scriptures that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father. You can never get to heaven except you go through Jesus. The way of salvation is a person. It isn't a building. It isn't a ritual. It isn't something you go through and do. It's something you believe and accept. And that is, come to Jesus and just ask him to save you from your sins. A Philippian jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul and Silas say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The only hope, the only way, the only way you can have it was through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was just reading the other day about this rich man, and he had his barns, and he says, oh my, what am I going to do? I got so many crops. What am I going to do with it all? Oh, I'll tear them down. I'll make bigger barns, and I'll make bigger this and that. And I've got so much riches, and then I'll just sit down, and then I'll retire. See, they're always retiring, aren't they? And I'll retire, and then I'll just say that to eat, drink, and be merry, because you have all this wealth. And what happened that night? That night, not the next day, not the next church service, not the next invitation, that same day, that night, somebody came looking for him. Death came, and he said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required. Then who shall these things be? And they're gone, and his soul is lost. And so the only hope is through Jesus Christ. You can't get there by good works. I see people all the time, And you, well, if you don't believe me, you can do a little experiment. Go out on the streets and ask 10 people if they're going to heaven. And if they say they're going to heaven, ask them why they think they're going to heaven. And they will have something in there to do with good works. They'll say, well, that I pay my debts, or I give to the church, or I go to church at least on Easter and on Christmas. I always get there. I'm faithful that way. Or I don't beat up on my dog, or I don't do this and I don't do that. They got all kinds of things. But when you meet God, you won't have anything to say. You remember the story of the man who had a big banquet, and he invited all the people to come. And he says, go into the highways and the byways. The people who were invited didn't come. And he told his servants, God is never going to be disappointed. You just go out to the highways and the byways, and you get the people that are in the poor people that are down and out, and you get the beggars, and you get the bums, and you get anybody, and you bring them to the feast. And when you come to the feast, they'll be given a robe, a gown, so they'll all have the same gown. And you bring them in, and they bring them in, and Jesus tells that story, and he says, one of the men said, I'm sure it's a man, just sure as a world, because they are so stubborn sometimes. Women will listen, but sometimes these men. And so he comes in and he says, I don't need a gown. I'm in my own righteousness. I'm a good man. I'm better than my neighbor. I don't need a gown. I did this, 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 and this. And so then Jesus tells of how the master comes in and he says to them, he looks over this banquet, and there are thousands of people. And all of a sudden, of the thousands of people, one man doesn't have a gown. That shows you the divine eye, that he'll pick you out of a million people or a billion people if you're not washed in the blood, if you don't have that gown. And this man doesn't have the gown, but he has a long list of reasons he doesn't need that gown. And so when the king comes, he gives him a chance and he says, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a gown? And you know what the man said? The Bible says, Jesus says, he was speechless. And you may have a lot of excuses now, but when you meet that great God Almighty, there'll be no hope for you. The only hope is in Jesus. And you won't have one word to say. But Jesus will do the same. He's the judge then. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's exactly what Jesus says. And so this Jesus riding on this little donkey, he's showing us so many things on how to live the Christian life and also the importance of making that decision of coming to Jesus Christ. And we pray on the Christian Worship Hour, there's three things that we really try to emphasize. The first thing is to honor God, to glorify God. And the second thing is to help you to come to Jesus and be born again. Because if you die in your sins, you won't have that gown. And that gown really speaks of the righteousness of Christ. And it means when we accept Jesus, he clothes us with his righteousness. And when we get to heaven's gates, they won't see me, they'll see the righteousness of Christ. Because by faith, I've acquired that. I've accepted that. And he's clothed me in his righteousness. And I'm pure and clean in Jesus' righteousness. And they'll see Jesus, not me, because I'm in his righteousness. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, we want to write to you. You write to us, we'll send you literature. I don't care where you live in the world. Maybe you're in the persecuted church area and you've accepted Jesus. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. Or if you want to, you can write to us and send a gift. You can even send a gift over internet, christianworshiphour.com. And then you can give a gift over that to help us. If you want to have the new song, this little Bible study, you can write and ask for that. Or maybe we've got a little pamphlet on how I know I'm saved, how I'm proved, I know I'm going to heaven. And that we'll send that free and postpaid if you can. But just write to us, and especially if you accept the Jesus. And then you, when you write to us, you can pray for us and tell other people and let them know that there's a need here and let them know they need to hear the Savior. So now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now. They're accepting you. They're praying for you to come into their hearts. And people that have drifted away and way off in sin, the prodigal son is coming home. The prodigal daughter is coming home now. And the arms are wide open and the Father is receiving them. And there's rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that repenteth. And we pray for, Lord, we pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who are afraid. We're praying for the young people that have to make decisions and they don't know which way to turn. Or maybe they're being tempted to get into some evil habit or some sin and drift away and turn from you. Whatever the case might be, we pray, Lord, you'll speak to their hearts. You'll help them and bless them and guide them. And we'll be careful to give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you now for being with us today. We're just so thankful that we're able to come week after week. We don't know how long this will be. We don't know how long we'll be here. We don't know if the Lord will come again. We know it's not going to be forever. This might be the last invitation we give. I don't know, but I just know that if the people will call in the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. And that you're standing at the door and you're knocking right now. And you're saying that he that heareth my voice and openeth the door, I will come in. I'll come into their life. May multitudes have you come in. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll talk to your people everywhere, encourage and help and bless. And we love you, Lord, and we love the people, and we thank and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.